Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth. The only consideration when you have listened to this recording is not whether you agree or disagree with what we say. It is this. Is what we say the truth? There are many pretending anti-communist organizations which the Jews have set up to take the heat or blame for communism away from the Jews themselves. They even attack this controlled opposition when necessary. Christians by the millions have fallen for these deceptive anti-communist groups hook, line, and sinker. Just about the most deceptive of all these groups is the John Birch Society and its false leader Robert Welch of Belmont, Massachusetts. Millions look upon the John Birch Society as the most intelligent group in the country in the study of the truth about communism. It is totally spurious, the most untruthful, and the most deceptive. Every Christian can now find 10,000 proofs that communism was schemed up and unleashed upon a Christian world by Jews and Jews alone. Even with many hired or hoodwinked Christians in the ranks, we now know that communism and Judaism are one and the same thing. Rabbi Stephen F. Wise removed all doubt about the matter when he said, quote, "Some call it communism, I call it Judaism," unquote. He was the chief rabbi of the United States for the greater part of his life. Our next quotation is from the New York Jewish newspaper, The Morning Freiheit, or Freedom, of January 10, 1937, quote, "The Jewish religion is hostile to Christianity in general and the Catholic Church in particular," unquote. The Jew Dr. Chaim Weizmann in his pamphlet, Great Britain, Palestine, and the Jews, said, quote, "We are Jews, nothing else, a nation within a nation," unquote. Well, if there's anything Great Britain and the United States do not need, it is a nation within a nation. But we've got one, so let's get at it. The Jew Ben Gurion, head of the Stolen Nation of Israel, stated in Time magazine, August the 16th, 1948, quote, "The United Nations ideal is a Jewish ideal," unquote. The magazine Jewish Life of New York in May 1938 put the clincher on who started and what is communism, quote, "Every Jew who is sincerely interested in the plight of the Jews should realize that the best sons of the Jewish people are Jewish communists, and that the most faithful ally of the Jews is the Communist Party," unquote. Those quotations are not Wally Butterworth talking. Those quotations are the Jews themselves boasting from Rabbi Wise on down the line. That magazine, Jewish Life, is published by the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. And the rabbis of that outfit filch $1 billion a year from Christian households with kosher foods and their K and U markings, and you pay the bill. We now quote you the learned Reverend Father Dennis Fahey, professor of philosophy and church history, whose book, The Rulers of Russia, has had 3 enlargements and 16 reprintings in Dublin, Ireland from 1938 to 1962, and will guarantee you many more from 1962 to date. Says Father Fahey, "After the assassination of the imperial family, of 61 members of the Central Communist Committee, 41 are Jews, 5 Russians, and the rest outsiders. The data of the Soviet press says about the Council of the People's Commissars, out of 556 members, 457 are Jews. That leaves only 99 communists who are not Jews out of 556. Continues Father Fahey, "The Polish Communist Party, 12 directors, all Jews. The Committee of Anarchists of Moscow, 5 directors, 4 Jews. Murderers of Tsar Nicholas and family, 6 people, all Jews." End of Father Fahey's quotation. Any doubt in your minds now that communism is Jewism? Case closed. Every Christian should have a copy of Father Fahey's book, The Rulers of Russia. It costs only a dollar from Common Sense at Union, New Jersey. And just why is Common Sense, our oldest patriot newspaper, barred from John Birch Society meetings? Why, it's considered anti-Semitic by Robert Welch, the man who has more Jewish friends than any other Gentile in America. Now let us read what Robert Welch and his John Birch Society have to say in the John Birch Bulletin of April 1, 1961, page 21, quote, "There is only one real danger in the charge of anti-Semitism today to the man who is actually not anti-Semitic. It is that the utter unfairness of the charge may cause him to react with anger against Jews in general, until the man winds up becoming violently anti-Semitic. He seldom realizes that this was the communist game and purpose all along, of which the vast majority of Jews who innocently helped the Reds implement communism were as unaware and innocent as the ordinary Methodist who supports the National Council of Churches." Unquote. Oh, brother. Oh, those poor innocent Jews who innocently helped the Reds to murder the Russian royal family. They only made up 100% of those dirty, murdering Reds. And remember that only a measly 50% of those poor, innocent Jew revolutionists were trained on Long Island under Trotsky with the money of Jake Schiff, president of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, Wall Street bankers, and the Warburg Jew bankers of New York and Germany also. And that the other 49% of those poor, innocent Jews were trained in Switzerland with Rothschild money under the Russian Lenin, who had a Jewish wife, and they spoke nothing but Yiddish in their home. 50% plus 49% equals 99% Jews who established communism. But continues Robert Welch on page 17 of the John Birch Bulletin of April the 1st, 1961, quote, "The thought occurred to me one day, I took pride in the belief that I had more good friends of the Jewish faith than any other Gentile in America." Unquote. Yes, Robert Welch, you phony, and you deserve that tribute. We note you said Gentile instead of Christian. Why didn't you go all the way and say Goy, the Hebrew word for slave cattle of the Jews, instead of Gentile? Is it any wonder that any John Birch member who dares to attack Jews is invited to leave the meeting and thrown out of the society? Why? Could it be Jewish control, FOB Belmont? It is. And any Birch member who dares to brand the NAACP as a Jewish organization is likewise thrown out. Even after the Jew Spingarn resigned, they've just elected another Jew, one Kivi Kaplan from Boston, president of the NAACP, and 42 vice presidents of the NAACP are Jews. Will somebody please tell us how this John Birch Society can pretend to fight communism and yet will throw anybody out who dares to attack Jewism and its hired slaves, Negro? It cannot be done, ladies and gentlemen, and no living man knows it better than this tin-horn phony Robert Welch, who sold his local candy company for 200,000 shares of National Biscuit Company stock, Rockefeller banker-owned stock worth $10,800,000, according to Capsule News, and which netted both Welch and his brother $500,000 apiece last year. Here are the connections between the John Birch Society and the Jew Communist plan for world government and a world monetary system. We link Robert Welch with the Council on Foreign Relations, with the National Council of Churches, and the anti-Christian British Israel World Federation and its American counterpart, the Anglo-Saxon Federation of America, and their satanic publications, Destiny, Western Destiny, The Kingdom's Message, and all the rest of that hogwash. We take them in order. The Council on Foreign Relations and its banker, Big Industry Stooges, have looted the United States Treasury of more than $60 billion in gold, which used to back up our money. Now they have stolen all the silver. Try and lay your hands on silver dollars or half dollars. A friend in the Philadelphia Mint employ advises us that tons of them are in bags waiting to be shipped to Europe right now, to Israel, to Switzerland, to Germany. And these Council on Foreign Relations Federal Reserve bankers filch 12,000 millions of dollars a year from your pockets as interest on the national debt, up another $30 billion since Lyndon Johnson took office, and Uncle Sam doesn't owe these banker thieves one red cent. Try dropping one of Lyndon's silverless quarters on the floor. Instead of the ring of good old silver, this junk has all the plop of a nice, soft poached egg. And that's what it's worth. Our millionaire thieves in Congress tell us that we don't need gold or silver backing for our money. Oh, no? Then why do these Council on Foreign Relations world bankers demand it, and why have they stolen it all? Wouldn't you be suspicious to find not one but two CFR members on the John Birch Society Board of Directors? One of the founders of this John Birch Society is a lad named W.B. McMillan, president of the Hussman Refrigerator Company of St. Louis, Missouri. Second in command to Robert Welch, this fellow was a big wheel in the Council on Foreign Relations. Then there's that Republican gent Sproul Braden of Great Neck, New York, on the National Council of the John Birch Society and the Council on Foreign Relations. His family made a few millions in copper owned by the Guggenheim banker boys. The Guggenheims have been in on every big Wall Street deal for years. Their $60 million tax-dodging Guggenheim Foundation spreads poison through scholarships in Latin America. What business is Robert Welch messing around with these millionaire CFR gangsters? Another organizer and co-founder of the John Birch Society is William J. Greedy of the Greedy Foundries in Milwaukee. This fellow was chairman of Bible Week of the Layman's National Committee of the National Council of Churches. And just who organized and financed the National Council of Churches? Why, the most damnable outfit in the United States, the exclusive Jew Order of B'nai B'rith and its Gestapo police organization, the Anti-Defamation League. The ideologies of the National Council of Churches and this New Age religion racket of British Israel World Federation, alias the Kingdom of God on Earth, are identical. They are both anti-Christian. But the lad who spills the beans for the John Birch Society is one J. Frank Norris. He was a fundamentalist Baptist preacher. In the early 1930s, this Norris published a magazine called The Fundamentalist. He also ran and headed a theological seminary called the Fundamentalist Baptist Institute of Fort Worth, Texas. In 1940, one of Preacher Norris's first two graduates was the Reverend John Birch. This Norris was a ringleader and early exponent in this country of the British Israel World Federation, and it is safe to assume that John Birch was fully indoctrinated at this Bible Institute. No less authority than the learned Dr. William Thomas Walsh, in the Brooklyn Tablet of March 16, 1946, declared that this British Israel movement is anti-Christian, even more so than communism. Frank Norris was called controversial because he was supposed to be anti-Semitic. Let's see how anti-Semitic he was, or anti-Jewish, rather. In 1937, Frank Norris came back from a trip to Germany. He called Hitler the savior of his people, and his magazine printed it in August the 6th, 1937, saying this, quote, "The Germans are a great people. Hitler scrapped the Versailles Treaty and reduced unemployment from 6 million to 1 million people." "Of course," said Norris, "they're under a dictatorship, but you'd never know it. People are happy. We've had the best meals here, and prices are reasonable," unquote. 3 months later, this Jew-financed Frank Norris, British Israelite, preacher and teacher of preacher John Birch, the man who gave Robert Welch Birch's name for the society, traveled around the United States calling Hitler the Antichrist of prophecy. For added drama, he always burned a Nazi flag wherever he went and eulogized Judaism. That's a mighty fast change, even for a Baptist preacher turning kosher. Exactly 3 months from the savior of Germany to the Antichrist. 7 months later, get a load of this letter from Frank Norris to Dr. Sam Swain of the Sam Swain Evangelist Party, 410 Fatherland Street in Nashville, Tennessee. "Dear Brother Swain, in writing you yesterday, I failed to state that if you would go to the head of B'nai B'rith, they would help you in your expenses. The enclosed talk is one of the addresses I will deliver. The Jews, of course, are greatly interested. I delivered it in Milwaukee to a great crowd and will deliver it in New York. Yours very sincerely, J. Frank Norris." Well, there it is. An absolute tie-up with the John Birch Society at the very top with Jewism, meaning communism, and with the Banker Council on Foreign Relations, and with the National Council of Churches, which recommends premarital sex, free marriage between blacks and whites, and lately the admission of Communist China to the United Nations. The John Birch Society says it doesn't engage in politics. Oh, no. In 1960, this Robert Welch made a special speech at the Morrison Hotel in Chicago, which the scoundrel had the impudence to copyright, a political speech, mind you. It denounced all third-party movement when millions of true Americans wanted a third party to return our communist government to the law and letter of the Constitution. Is anybody trying to tell us that Robert Welch didn't know that the same bankers, including Rockefeller, own both the Democratic and Republican Party? This is typical kindergarten John Birch Society garbage given to every chapter leader, all nicely printed up. Don't you, dear members, think the John Birch Society will do the thinking for you? Welch's whole speech was to ditch Tricky Dicky Nixon in favor of that Episcopalian Jew, Barry Morris Goldwater, for over 10 years a vice president of the Communist National Municipal League in Chicago and a member of the NAACP. Barry, if you remember, stopped a conservative test ballot in the convention when it reached Arizona and told the entire nation that he was a friend and pal and supporter of Richard Nixon for 6 years. That was after Nixon had come from a midnight session with Nelson Rockefeller, who finally decided upon John Kennedy instead of Nixon. Welch and his gang looked a bit silly, but he came right back with Barry in 1964, thus ensuring the election of Lyndon Johnson. Barry Goldwater, the man who promoted the Alaska Mental Health Bill and its 1 million acres of land in 30 different spots in Alaska, all oil lands. Why did Robert Welch do it? He did it because he was told to do it. To kill off all wonderful third-party movements like the Constitution Party, which will elect a president if we are going to save this nation. Isn't Welch's speech sufficient proof that the John Birch Society at the top is keyed to the whole world government movement, since both major parties are run by the Council on Foreign Relations? We would simply treat this John Birch Society and Robert Welch with the contempt they deserve if their sole objective was lulling the intelligentsia to sleep and rendering their efforts dormant. But when their paid-off hirelings deliberately stab true patriots in the back, who name communism for what it is, Jewism, the Antichrist lepers who have vowed to destroy Christianity, then it is high time we nailed Robert Welch's hide to the barn door, and that's what we're doing. They had the colossal gall to call me a communist on John Birch stationery. This broadcaster was thrown off the air by two Jew organizers and coordinators of the John Birch Society in Atlanta. Two of our fellow broadcasters experienced identical treatment in other areas. You either fight communism the way Robert Welch wants it fought, or you get stabbed in the back by his paid hirelings, infiltrators who collect from $10,000 to $40,000 a year, and mostly Jews, like this little squirt Dr. Stelling in Atlanta and his pal, Mrs. Ann Winship. Where does Robert Welch get the money to pay these people? It doesn't come from $24 a year for men and $12 a year for women, but it can come from the Jew-controlled opposition through their Council of Foreign Relations bankers. In conclusion, we say to the thousands of John Birch members, fine, loyal Americans, would we be foolish enough to hurt your feelings and make you look stupid? Would we be wicked enough to spoil any organization's effort to stop the Antichrist if it was on the up and up? Every one of us has been deceived in our desire to aid our country, and before we claim victory, it'll happen again to all of us. You good people belong in a strictly Christian organization, with everyone else barred from membership and all activity. Our most proven patriots are now setting up this organization, and it cannot fail. You'll soon be asked to enroll as a soldier of Christ, an unbeatable army numerically superior to anything our enemies can muster. Stand by for it. It goes into action with our next recording. There will be no Jewish rabbis or atheists on our board of directors like the John Birch Society. Contact us now, ladies and gentlemen. We shall not fail you. This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.